Oh, that's nice. Right on the beginning. This is a freshly short.
You're
it's
over.
A good start, isn't it? Right, and again. Hello and welcome to another episode of Skaven Bike Radio. It's Skaven Dan, and today we're joined by...
Bodacious from the forums, Dan, in real life.
And Sneep or Brian.
Or Topic Splitter, apparently.
Okay, right. So take it away, Mr. Doom Wheeler.
Doom Wheeler? It's depression, man, if you ask Dane.
Yeah.
Owen right.
Of episode 12.
I'll delete that one. There was a catastrophic data error in the server. It couldn't be recovered. Honest.
Well, this one's lucky 13, even though it's, what, 16 or...
Yeah,
chronicle
I think we
order.
Might want to make this 12.5 and do 13 as the battle tome release, maybe.
And do what? Compare it to other systems?
Oh,
most,
well.
I mean, it's just rehashed. I mean, the only thing that's really going to be new in the new battle tome, in my opinion, is going to be maybe a new battalion and some fluff.
I think it's just going to be fluff because it's just a lot of rehashed models I've shown you on the thing. What do you think? Come on, Bodacious, infect some enthusiasm and positivity for the Age of Sigmar.
It's going to be great, man. The whole new battle tome is going to save the Skaven in the Age of Sigmar.
No. And Games Workshop financial instability, yeah.
No, it's no. I also think it's mostly going to be fluff. They've probably even said it. It's going to be Clan Pestilence as well, only. So it won't even have much on other Skaven. But I'm excited by the images they've shown. They've seen you. They had a splash page on the 13 Great Plagues and everything.
I'm telling you, I'm not even keen on Age of Sigmar, but it makes me want to buy it all.
Yeah.
Well, it makes a lot more sense if you think about it like this. Remember, like, back in the days when, AD&D was kind of popular?
Yeah.
And Wizards took the complicated DACO system and made it a D20? I think that's what Games Workshop's trying to do here. But they didn't sell it like that, so people were like, oh my god, you're fucking changing everything, this is wrong. So, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Age of Sigmar was just a really big shock to everyone, I think.
Yeah, well, stop being depressed, Dan. Jesus.
I've been infected.
Don't mind, because I'm in a really good mood. So, Essen Keep, do you want to give yourself a little breakdown for people who actually don't know you? Because I don't think all the listeners grace the forum with their presence.
Well, that, and I'm also kind of one of the... I definitely have been embracing the Lords of Decay aspect. I was really active after this, you know, Storm of Skaven, in the famous Games Workshop campaign. That started the site, kind of worked through there. Probably one of the few council rats that was assassinated into it. A couple old admins were removed and more active ones were placed in without a public vote, which was kind of fun to have that little status, especially now that everybody's voting. And I mean, so many people. I mean, it's like a who's who when you get nominated. I mean, it's... They try to say that, you know, the council rats don't really give oomph to the board, but it seems like the fancy colors and just Skaven mentality, it's like we naturally want to look for leaders.
Yes, lead.
Leads. From there, kind of worked on the Civil War campaign as Ratsu's assistant. Kind of was made in charge of the special projects. Mostly because I could write stuff that nobody would understand what I was saying.
special skill set, default encryption.
Well, well, you want to like say what it does, but you don't want to give away game mechanics. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you got some people that kind of went a little too far, and I think Decker is kind of famous for that in the Civil War campaign.
With God, his I haven't heard that name in ages.
Skaven aid factories, which were brutal because basically allowed them to pre-pool spoils for combat. So, like, when somebody attacked, it, like, did this, like, huge... Oh, we've been saving spoils for 3 turns in this little spot, and so you're spending 1 turn of spoils, and they're spending 3, so it's like you're going to get trounced. And, you know...
The campaign was famous for all the backstabbing. The other people from other forms, because Decker was from the Hearthstone, right?
Yeah, he's got Beastmen. Yeah, that's so all I know, man, that he's got a purple avatar, he's got Beastmen. But I remember the name.
Yeah, well, the great thing about the Civil War campaign in the beginning was that it got people from other forums to visit the Under Empire, and it kept them there because the backstabbing of the Civil War was so great. They couldn't do it on any other forum.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of nice to relaunch the Ambassador Project a little. You know, because we've seen people on the forum all the time from, like the Chaos Dwarfs were having like a painting contest, and like people were plugging their Kickstarter. You know, it'd be kind of interesting to get them in a pool of a room and like where they can talk, and like maybe even like all of us do something at the same day, so it like even amplified it even more. Mm, yeah, I mean it's one of those things that you know you do have some autonomy, and nobody ever really like rage quit or like got super upset.
Yeah, at least not from the backstabbing.
Yeah, I mean, I mean it's all fun and games. Even when we finally give way and we allowed trading, you know, because most of the other Warhammer sites, you know, hey, I want to buy your rats or you know, like whatnot. Yeah. Never really had any problems with people ripping each other off. Knock on wood. So I mean, it's relatively. For such a huge site that it is, it's actually relatively calm, which is kind of surprising for rats, but, you know, that's the whole looking to leaders thing, you know?
Yeah, it's very ironic that a Skaven forum is one of the most democratic and nice places to be on the internet.
It's the fear. Keep them all in line.
Yeah.
No, I mean, rattling guns do have a little bit of oomph to them, so... And, you know, that's... There's old form jokes that I probably few people remember that I still have on my thing of this old, back when Games Workshop used to have forums, there's this guy that was going on and on about how Ajax was secretly Warpstone juice. And he wanted to like feed it to his rats to see if they would get larger. So, I mean, you have all sorts of weird things. I mean, there's, like, over 5,000 posts on that site now. So, I mean, there's a lot. Current projects that I'm doing now, I'm assistant campaign manager for Vermin Supreme. He's a Libertarian party candidate for president. That's kind of an interesting little thing. As well as the, trying to get another round of custom dice ordered, which will be really fun. And more details later in the podcast. I think that's a good introduction.
Yeah. How did you get started with Skaven, if I can ask that?
Actually, to me, it originally started with the Mordheim. I think that's where a lot of Skaven players probably started. Just the fact that it appealed to me, and it's kind of like a lot of people didn't like playing me because I actually was able to. I loved the henchman aspect of it. You know, you could easily with a 500 gold within the first couple games max out your warband at 20 players. And when everybody else is, like, hero spamming, trying to get all their warpstone, and you're running like a squad of 20, it's pretty easy to, you know, take all their heroes out of action.
Yeah. Mordheim was a pretty broken game sometimes.
Yeah. And the Steam game that's counterpart to it is not too much better now. I hear the Poison Wim Globedeers are way underpriced for what they can do in the game.
Yeah.
It's a little Steam. I mean, that's one of the nice things about Warhammer is now it's not just tabletops anymore. It's also computer games. I'm actually really excited about the new Blood Bowl game on PlayStation 4.
Oh, really?
Because
we were talking about that last episode, and we were like worried people would find the second edition of the game too soon, because the first Blood Bowl game is relatively new.
Yeah, but it's also, it brought it to the new generation console. And it's kind of following in the tradition of sports games, you know, like every year they have like a Madden 2016.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so you're kind of wanting to keep it, you know, updated and fresh.
That kind of makes more sense. If they're actually going to treat it like an actual football game and try and release it and pretend it's football.
That would be pretty cool. Just have it end up in like 20-something numbers. Blood 25.
It is actually on discount at the minute. It's 50% off on Steam if you use a PC.
Oh, see, I mean, it's one of those things that it's almost like a hidden gem, because most people it's not like a game that you see on the shelf at Target or GameStop. I mean, it's one of those ones you have to like go on Amazon to order it. But I mean, I kind of like it. I've actually haven't played it yet, but I've seen all the trailers and I've been watching people on Twitch. That's another thing that I think is interesting about the new age of players. It seems like Twitch and YouTube and even podcastings, you're getting a lot more content than you were before, where it was basically everybody like humped around rumors and like, you know, like how things were going to lay out. And even the releases back then, it was not as fast paced as it is now. Most war games come out, you know, new things every month, whereas before it was like, you know, what, every 3 months between releases. And it like in 40K like switched back, so it was like 40K release and then Warhammer and then 40K and then Warhammer. So I mean, a little bit more fast-paced, I guess, because attention to detail is not... I wouldn't say attention to detail. More like consumers' memories are a little bit shorter.
Yeah, and I think it's, as well, they kind of have a pressure to stay relevant. So they have like a new thing to release every week. So, like, they don't, people's attention don't get distracted from the other games and other systems.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was hoping that Age of Sigmar would kind of break that thing and they would kind of go towards the free route. Campaign books that are super expensive is not really free.
A lot of people back, I think.
Well, yeah, because you had End Times just recently, too. So it's like just like the Blood Bowl. It's like they just had Blood Bowl 1. Why are they trying to have something new?
Yeah.
So it's...
You can only Sigmar buy so many €60 books each month.
Yeah, I mean, how are you supposed to spend models money on models when you're having to spend it on the rule books?
Yeah.
Well, we always figured that they based the costing on, like, you know, like every month someone would buy the kid like a AAA game, which is like £50. So that's kind of their market attitude. They want young teenagers. It's not their money, it's the parents' money they're spending. They're like, whatever, enough to shut you up, £50, yeah, all right, go away.
Well, I think that's kind of a big hurdle, and I think especially like for tournaments for new players, I really didn't want to go to tournaments because I didn't know the other guys' rules. And so you basically are trusting them on playing a game in a tournament setting.
Not only that, so, I had that the first place I used to go and game. You'd play them, and then afterwards you'd realize they cheated. And at that point, it was like, right, I would sit down and read all 14 of these books.
I mean, I think you would get a lot more players interested in various armies and such because you would understand the rules. So you wouldn't just be like, oh, this one looks cool. You'd be able to read them all and be like, wow, this mechanic really appeals to me. Oh, speaking of kids.
Hold on. Feel free to talk.
So, have you been up to much, Bodacious?
No, I've been working on my my Horus Heresy stuff, unfortunately. I actually hoped to do more on Skaven, but I've been bogged down the past couple of weeks with other stuff, so I've only managed to paint up some Horus Heresy Space Marines. And I have ordered the Age of Sigmar book, though, so I was complaining about the 60 euro books, but apparently I'm I'm prepared to to pay the money myself.
Pay the piper, man, pay the piper. Are you going to get the Battle Tome when it comes out?
Yeah, oh, the Battle Tome, that will be, the Battle Tome will be cheaper, though, so it won't be, it probably won't be as big.
It's £20, so I don't know what that is in euros. It's probably about 30, 40.
Yeah, 30 euros, I think they'll put it at.
Well, luckily I go to a shop that gives you everything 25% off right off the bat.
25?
That because you scare him.
Mine only gives me 20.
Yeah, to be fair, there's one around the corner from us that does 20% off. You never know.
Well, this also is stuff that's on the shelf. If you like want a custom order, it's normal price.
Oh no, you can custom order from this guy and it's 20% off.
Yeah, it's mine as well.
And mortar stores trying to compete with online sales, you know?
Yeah, they kind of have to. Otherwise, there'd be no reason.
I mean, but you also can, you know, like, for example, I'm looking at the Age of Sigmar Grand Alliance book and the difference between that and the quest for Galsmar? Am I saying that right?
I thought it was Galmaraz.
Yeah, I think it's Galmaraz.
Yes. They have such weird naming schemes that I don't even... like, yeah. Why, you know, orcs with U-U-R-K-S?
The naming schemes are fantastic. Yes. I can go and read some stuff from the Grand Alliance Chaos book, because I bought that one as well. And it's Clan Scryer formations are hilarious.
Same size and pages, but it seems like you get a lot more out of the Grand Alliance book, even though most of it's rehashed.
Yeah.
But that $5 versus the $75.
Apparently, they really want you to pay for the fluff, but the rules are really cheap.
Yeah. But, I mean, the battalions aren't, and that's where you get a lot of your competition from.
Yeah. Yeah, the Grand Alliance Chaos only has the Clan Scryer battalion for this game.
I mean, you know, the clan, Plague Claw Pack is actually pretty good because you get the Corrupt the Terrain and the Stand Nearby. I mean, that's a standard one. I really like one of the reasons why I bought the quest book is I really like the, God, I can never remember it. It's the one that doubles the range of the Plague Furnace, which, you know, doesn't sound that great until you realize you're also controlling a Rem Gate. And so you can basically have a door for your Rem Gate, and so you can send all your little rats through the portal and transfer them to the other side of the board and then move your Plague Furnace blocking the gate so nobody else can teleport.
Yeah.
So I take it you've actually played Age of Sigmar then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, quite a few games. Tried it with the comps, but I kind of agree with the Age of Balance people that you change one thing thinking it's going to fix everything, but then it kind of like has this butterfly effect. And so it's kind of hard to figure out exactly how to balance things. I think that's kind of why the ninth age is taking so long to get out of beta, is because you change, you know, something and then it has this cascade.
Yeah, but they're changing so much at once is the issue, I think. It's actually annoyed some of my friends what they're doing with the ninth age, because we were all, ninth age, yeah, it's Warhammer carrying on. And then it was just like, what the hell have they done to the game? Let's wait till it's out of beta. Let's let someone else have these arguments.
I mean, it's, I mean, so, you know, Age of Sigmar has been out for, what, a year or so?
About 9 months-ish.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, how many updates of Ninth Age have they gone through? And it's like, how much, you know, all these comps, it's almost kind of funny, because when you see, like, the 4chan thread, it's like they have this entire paste bin full of, like, lists of comps. Like, you can do this one, or that one, and this one, and that one, and it's like...
Cool. We'll have to send you a link.
It all gets very technical very fast with Ninth Age, because I'm tried to read up on it as well, but I was rusty on my 8th edition to begin with, so I had some trouble.
I actually surprisingly have never played 8th edition.
Oh, get him.
Except for like skirmish games. It was interesting because I had a whole bunch of models back in the day, like all the metal, because you know, it was like, you know, Mordheim and the metal models were about the same time. And then I ended up selling all my metal models, and then they announced the summer campaign. And so I was like, crap. So I bought a whole bunch of the new plastics, which I still haven't even put together, really.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to the club.
I mean, I can show you the. I think I showed you the picture earlier of all my box tops.
Yeah, you showed me the box tops. But I can probably depress you, because I've got like 500 Skaven. I've still got Led Skaven. I'm holding the banner high.
Led Skaven.
That's one of the interesting things about being a collector for so long, is having these now what considered out of print models, like the Rattling Gun and all the other ones.
Yeah, I've got everything.
Plague Storm. I even have one of the old ones with the Warp Slock Engineer holding the pistol with the finger pointing. And they had this game. Like, before their skull thing, they had this finger-pointing phase where, like, all their models were, like, pointing fingers or...
Yeah. They were pretty...
I don't know if it was just one particular sculptor that thought it was, like, a funnier, if it was, like, a studio inside joke of, like, pointing the finger at somebody. But it seemed like they had this, you know, oh, we're not holding a sword, we don't want to have your hand on your hip. No, you have to be pointing.
Yeah. They had some weird phases back, because they also had like the red phase where everyone was colored red. I think Skaven had trouble with that as well. Didn't the Storm Vermin used to be painted red?
Yeah, that was the warrior clan thing going on that they were trying to vibe off of Clan Moors, I think it was.
Yeah, ours is red.
And so, you know, when you have the studio army painted only one certain way, it kind of gives off a different feel than the average day painter. Because they use like 20 plus colors, and I think most people stop at 5, and then they do a wash.
Yeah, but you don't really need as much when you start painting yourself. You're constantly thinking about how do I use the least amount of things possible but still have it look cool.
I mean, you're painting what? I mean, that's also, to me, the appeal of Age of Sigmar is I'm not having to paint 120 models just to get a game in.
Yeah, that's been the appeal for me too. That's why I'm looking into it lately, because I'm really intimidated by having to paint up all my Skaven at once that I still have.
Just do what I do. Just embrace this grayness.
Still doing the spare bases just in case, you know, I change my mind. I even had a little ingenious of doing on the 40 millimeter base. So I have 4 clan rats on one base. But they still kind of are about the same size as 4 rats on 20 millimeter bases. and that extra time of having to move four figures or just one.
Yeah, like a lot of people, you can even, that works even better with Kings of War, though. You can just...
Yeah, I mean, that's why you keep the square bases. I mean, you want to be able to play Kings of War, you want to be able to play Old Hammer.
Yeah.
You know?
Although I've been having the idea of maybe trying to use round bases, but just make square movement trays for them.
There is a company that does round bases that fit into square movement trays, and that you can actually get them magnetized so they just click together. That would mean you'd have something that would work on any system, basically, then.
Yeah, but you have some sculpts like the Clanorats. You had people purposely not putting the tails on the Clanorats because it was so hard to line them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
I mean, I think I have a whole pile of tails that I never attached.
When I had my old Skaven army with the 6th edition Clanorats, I think I had like 90 Clanorats. And I painted a number under each clan rat, because I had regiments of 30, so I had numbers 1 to 30 on each clan rat, so I can remember where to put them in the regiment, so that they fit together. It took me ages to set up.
Yeah, that's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, and then the also fun part where they had the plastics where they had like two slave looking models, but all the rest of them were Clanorats, so you had to buy a whole bunch of boxes because you wanted a unit of slaves that all matched.
Oh yeah, that's
true. You actually did that, man.
Yeah, why do you think I have so many bits?
I've got like 500 Skaven. I didn't use that as an excuse to buy more.
Well, I mean, I also even traded some. Some guy was doing a clan scars and wanted all of the storm vermin looking torsos for the clan rats. And so I ended up getting a whole bunch of the old metal models that I ended up selling on the first time back. You know, the old Poisonwind Globadiers and the Censor Bearers and... That's one thing that I like about the old Vermin Lord is the pose is not the same as the new ones. It's definitely like more Skaven-y. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the new Vermin Lord, but the old one still has that old soft spot for me.
I liked the model, but it was very dear. It hasn't been around in a long time.
Even in 6th edition, it looked a bit dated.
It's more of the size of it. Like, it was about the same size as a Rat Ogre when you're thinking Vermin Lord of, like, you know, Demon Print size.
Yeah.
I understand the scale went up, so, I mean, it's... But just the model and the pose, you know, you had, like, the half rat face and then, like, the half bone on the other side.
Yeah.
Classic.
It could still be a good model, though, but if you painted it upright, then...
Well, I mean, in order to use it now, I'd almost think you would have to, like, up its scale. Otherwise, it's just this tiny little vermin. He's like, oh, you're cute! I mean, because it's not even bigger than the Doom Wheel now is bigger than it. I mean, before, they were about the same size. And now it's, like, you know, even the toys are bigger.
So I've got a question for you guys, then. The last time we were on the podcast, we mentioned that the Chaos Dwarves are completely gone and dead and everything. It turns out someone has gone to the point to enlighten me that they've actually released new warp scrolls for the Chaos Dwarves. So, even though in the end times they were annihilated, they're back.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about Forge World is they were really able to pick up the slack of Games Workshop when he had such a huge fan demand for something. Little history that we know from the board site that not too many people know is a lot of the Chaos Dwarfs were helping us during the Storm of Skaven campaign. Like, we were talking with them a lot, even more than like the Chaos guys. I don't know if like the Chaos guys just thought we were like rats and we didn't know what we were doing, but it seemed like we got a lot more traction out of the Beastmen, out of the Chaos Dwarfs, and even some of the sent the ogres than we did the actual Chaos guys, who were basically just said, hey, do this, or hey, do this, we need you to report your battles here, when there was no real tactical talk. So it kind of made it...
Isn't that kind of like a thing with people, because I've noticed it like often as well online and with interacting with other people who play other races, it's mostly people who play like the smaller factions and the more forgotten factions that are the most dedicated eventually, and they like example of the Chaos Dwarfs and the Beastmen, they get very little love from the Games Workshop themselves, but that only seems to make the players who play them more dedicated and more enthusiastic about finding solutions to make things work and get the most out of them.
So on that note then, do you think that the Tomb Kings are going to stay around, since there's a big, you know, the Tomb Kings are gone, they're not in the new Vampire accounts? I did a poll on Twitter, if anyone wants to go on Twitter, it's at @SkavenDan, and if you want to tell me why the Tomb Kings are or are not going to stay and vote in the poll, you're more than welcome. I really don't know what they're going to do with it, to be honest with you, but a lot of people seem to think that because they've moved the scrolls from the Games Workshop site into the, like, low stock section, that they're just going to disappear in a bit, even though it's a free PDF.
Well, it's not so much that, I think they're going from army-based releases to campaign book releases, kind of like what Warhammer or War Machine does. So instead of having to spend all this money on one army that maybe one out of the 12 people are going to buy, they can spend, you know, get a few releases for everybody rather than just that one person that has that army. So, I mean, you can kind of see it with even with the Grand Alliance of even with our new Skaven coming out, we have Skaven and the, kind of Grand Alliance Death.
Yeah, they're not. They're never releasing only one race in the same month, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's the shotgun approach, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's a good idea. Kind of
more interesting. I mean, it's also more narrative based. One of the old things that a lot of people didn't like about old Warhammer is you could have like campaigns or fluff books, but they didn't really change the campaign, you know, they didn't change the setting. It was always like little footnotes or like, oh, maybe they kind of took over this town. Whereas it seems like now it's like you're really, depending on how like everybody plays, or I don't know how the sales, it seems like the armies are changing and the fluff is kind of evolving.
Yeah, and you can and you get a reason to keep playing your campaigns as well, because when you said you in the old world from Warhammer 8th edition and stuff, you had to find a very little niche in the old world where you can fight your battles, because most of the other stuff was already known or talked about. You can't really hold a battle in Altdorf because you knew in the old fluff that Altdorf, what everyone was doing at the time in Altdorf. So it would make a lot of sense to hold a battle there if you're just having a random game with someone. So, but in the new, with the new advancing storyline, there's a lot of reason to keep playing games and keep playing, keep inventing more stuff. And even if you can invent your own places and you can make them as epic as you want, and you can populate it with as many races and people as you need. So that's...
Yeah, I think it kind of almost deals back to the old days of Games Workshop when, you know, like HeroQuest was like a big thing that they had. I mean, it was more, you know, back in the days where you had a game master for your tabletop games.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to go back to that as well, because I've never played Warhammer for so long, but the reason I started playing Warhammer because it allowed you to do your own thing with it, and that still, that really grabs me with Age of Sigmar now, that they really give you space to imagine stuff.
Yeah, it seems like a lot more combos and picks and choose. When, you know, especially other games like War Machine kind of turns into Assassinate the Caster.
Yes.
Whereas this is not, doesn't have that, because you have objectives, or you can just do the pitch battle in the center, or hey, let's just play a game and I outnumber you, so you get special goals to win. It seems more like a narrative-based campaign rather than just, okay, I have 150 points, you have 150 points. All right, who's the best general?
That's what it should be, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you have that in a tournament-like setting, but...
No, you don't. No, don't get me started on this, because half the points at tournaments are for how well you paint your models, how well you base your models. If you turned up on time, if you submitted your list in advance on time, it really, really annoys me that half your game points can be, oh, I spent £100 on my painting my army, or paying someone to paint it for me.
Are you really? That's
Yeah, they turn to add the other hobby aspect of it, and to kind of balance out, because it's, you know, it's kind of like I almost want to say it's like the soccer version of tabletop games. It's more about having fun than actually winning.
All it does is empower people running painting companies to get more clients. That's all it does, because everyone wants to have the nicest painted models. But if you ask them, they painted it themselves.
I can't agree with you on this one, Dan. I have a good friend of mine. He runs his own painting company.
Here we go. Yeah, shameless plug.
I have to plug him sometime, but I don't know.
Get a URL or something off him, and we'll stick him on podcast. Whatever, dude. I don't care.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting career choice, especially because, you know, some people want that service. To the point where they even have like Hero Clicks, where they have everything pre-painted. So it's kind of almost taking away from the tabletop experience, because you're basically, everything's pre-painted and it's a collectible.
The problem is, I've never really understood why the people would want to leave the painting side and the building side out of it. Because to me, that's the whole appeal of the game. If it was just pre-painted miniatures and just the game in itself, and sorry, but I don't think Warhammer is that great of a game.
Well, that's actually kind of interesting, because I'm almost on the same page, too. I mean, it's been, you know, I play a game every now and then, but to me, painting the models is where it's at. I mean, I love just spending an afternoon, and I'll only paint, like, one or two clan rats, but those clan rats will look freaking awesome.
Yeah, and the thing that you have your own guys and your own army to build.
Yeah, that's nice and everything, but I'm kind of on the other scale that I want to paint my own models, but I only want to paint them if I want to use them. It's like I was finally getting somewhere and finally getting my army together, finally, after all these years. And now they've just like, oh, what section of Dan's army's painted? We'll crap on that in the Age of Sigmar.
Well, I mean, there's some aspect. I mean, I've been actually seriously tempted to not get the painting service done, but having them do a lot of the conversion.
Oh, I love doing that bit. I love building them and making them and, you know,
yeah, but
getting the
stuff
saw
is
kind of out and...
Different philosophies, people.
Yeah, I'm very much a builder. I love building things. I even had one guy complain that some of his models kept falling to bits, so I drilled all the little arms on his men and stuff. I was like, they ain't coming off ever again.
See, you know, basic service. I mean,
I enjoy the converting, though, as well, but it takes a lot to get me started. And I only ever enjoy converting one thing, and then I stop for a while and just want to paint things and get things done. Otherwise, if I've seen people convert whole units and stuff like that, or really small things every time, and that never, it always seems like a bit of waste.
That's me, Dan. You can paint my models, I'll build them. Right then, shall we
get the system going?
Well, speaking of painting, I guess it would be a good time to plug the Under Empire's painting vows and such.
Oh yeah,
I solemnly swear to not paint anything, just like last month.
I vowed to do 10 Raven Guard, and I only finished 5, but I forgot. I finished them on the 2nd of March, so I get them posted on time. So now I don't have anything.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a cool little concept because it encourages you to paint because you get... I mean, it's not even really anything. It's basically just a little merit badge that you can put in your signature file.
Oh, it's great. I like that. And it's one of the... Especially the banners are really, really cool. Like, they were made by Dema back in the day. And they're one of the coolest things on the site, I think, and as far as artwork goes.
Yeah, that's one of the things I also like, a lot of the custom image that were done on the site, to the point where it gets me kind of irked that I see the new Twitter button and it's not like custom painted. It's like this
more
loot.
Get Dema back to do a Twitter button.
But at the same time, it's also technology, and I mean, how many people really twit topics?
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing it now just to annoy you because I've signed up. Let's share this one, Skaven history lesson. In fact, I think I'll do it now while you're talking.
I mean, that's also the other interesting thing is, like, I love watching the guests and seeing what topics they're viewing.
Oh, the eyes from the shadow, or what's it called? Wasn't it a function that you could...
It's active... viewers list or something, and it shows you what they're all doing. I do it. I must admit, I stalk everyone. That's the way you find the interesting topics, because I can't be bothered googling them. It's too much like trying to find some. So you just click on someone, read the title, and go, "Ooh, what's that?"
Maybe we should have a month where we allowed everybody to bump necromancy topics and really dig out those ones that people haven't read in a while. I mean, because, like I said, the forum's got like 500,000 posts. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You still get people viewing the board, even though nobody's really posting anymore.
And with the whole the inactivity lately, is it really necromancing if no one's... If no one's posting anything new anyways?
Ah, cool, it works. I shared your post.
Could you go from, you know, back in the day it was, you know, 13 posts in a day from one person wasn't unheard of. Now it's like you see the top topic contenders and it's like, oh, this person's in the top 10 and they have 2 posts.
Oh yeah, it's depressing, isn't it? Someone needs to find Scrivener and bring him back, because I'm like shooting up the board like some possessed...
No, I think with the new dice order, we might get some more people. With the new battle tome, we might get some people. I think really push comes to shove, I almost think the board is almost just going to have to step up and maybe have a donation so we can pour our money and get some of these advertising on a lot of these other sites. I'd love to have a banner ad on, like, Bells of Lost Souls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a big hurdle. One person. I mean, it's one thing for, you know, paying for $30 a year for the domain name. It's quite a bit different for like $300 to pay for a week of advertising.
Oh, that's terrible. That's is that the kind of costs? Is that realistic?
That's what the sites are charging. I'm not sure if it's realistic or if it would be worthwhile investment. But like I said, it's one of these things that is like one of the original people on the board. I'm almost thinking like people are off doing the podcasts and doing all these other stuff, not really understanding that there's a site there for Skaven.
Well, fortunately, we are supporting that, kind of. Whoever owns the domain, because I know you said that you bought the domain name originally, you can hook Google into that and then you can get the analytics, and then from there you'll be able to see like how viable it is. And if you do that, and when you sign up, if you do that and then do an ad campaign with Google straight away, Google will give you like £75 free to spend on advertising to start with.
Google is one thing, because you're advertising on sites that not really Warhammer related.
Yeah, but you can specify. You can choose your demographic and where they are. You can't really narrow it down.
So, it might be something to look into. I'm more thinking like sights in my mind when I think Warhammer. I'm thinking spiky bits, chainsword, Bell of Lost Souls.
Well, don't you just need an account for someone to go around and like, you know, rally the troops? Just someone with like a SIG for the Under Empire to go around and just post into the sites and go, come to this, blah blah, competition of the month, blah blah. Just to build the traffic and to remind them that you're still there and we're still around. Because
I think the ambassador thing would be interesting because you have so many resources on our site that we're not really tapping into. You have like, speaking of Chaos Dwarfs, we just had a Chaos Dwarf on our forum talking about some painting competition. I mean, granted, it was for Chaos Dwarf models, but I mean, I don't know. I might be tempted to buy a couple of Hobgoblins just to enter a contest. I mean,
actually, there was a story competition on the Chaos Dwarf forum, and Ratty won it. So,
it's to me, it's more about building relationships than like. That's why I wouldn't want to do just a Google target ad because it's cold. Building relationships. You know, like when you're sponsoring on a site like that, it's not so much of an advertisement. It's you're promoting what they do.
Yeah.
You're giving money directly to them rather than giving money to Google.
True. Well, that's why I like the podcast because you actually get to talk to people. You know, you can say what you want in text, but it doesn't always come across. And you know, you can say something sarcastically, and someone could take it the wrong way. Whereas if you're actually talking to them, you can gauge their engagement actually better, and it's a lot more interactive. I mean, this is why you play war games, isn't it? Because if we didn't like people, we'd just play computer games.
Yeah.
I mean, even computer games, you have the social aspect of, you know, the multiplayer online games. I mean, not everybody just is rude and just insults people. I mean, you have that demographic as majority, or maybe, you know, a very active, loud minority, but, I mean, it's... You kind of have the stereotype of very video gamers are not social, which... Not really the case, because, I mean, you even have LAN parties, and you have, like, it's like, they call it esports now. I mean, it's crazy. I actually went and saw, it was like Magic the Gathering. It wasn't on ESPN, but it was, like, on Twitch, and it was, like, set up like ESPN would have, like, it's like two guys on the microphone talking about Magic games.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, going through his roster like it's a freaking like NBA.
That's when you know when you're in the right hobby when they're commentating like the matches. I've been to a War Machine tournament once, where they had like a video camera on the top table, and it was on a beamer in the room. So that always seemed to me like a very professional step in the right direction.
Yeah, what's his name did that a little bit, didn't he? One of the council members. Oh,
War Machine.
I didn't think it was a council rat. I thought it was the Skaven and AZ.
Skaven AZ, yeah, he's on the council.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since I've, you know, I'm a very active member of the K.
Is she decaying memory?
What I think about it.
With the lords of the game, you know this.
Yeah, I watched one of his live because I had him on. In fact, it really pissed me off at the time because Google decided to set a Google alert to wake me up when he decided to have his live stream game. So I was like asleep and my phone started going off and I was like, why the hell is my phone going? And then I got up and I was like, I might as well watch it now.
Well, that's actually an interesting thing. When we started like picking moderators after the kind of the initial, okay, the summer campaign's over, we actually were very much mindful of the time zones, especially because you European rats are like, it's, you know, after dinner and you're getting ready to go to sleep. Whereas to me, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, my son's running around and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's an interesting having a community so, spread out.
Yeah. It's how the internet should be. I remember when I first started on the internet and I was like, you're in a different country to me? It never even dawned on me, because you just don't think things like that initially. If someone speaks to you and they speak English, you start just thinking, oh, maybe you just live down the street. And then you're like, oh, no, man, I got to go to bed. It's 4 a.m. here. And I was like, what? Where are you?
Yeah.
It's cool. But, yeah, we digress a tad.
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably most of why I'm split and keep, because, you know, I tend to go off topic and...
Terrible. We should split it into another podcast.
Oh, we're not doing that again. No one... You need to swear like 30 times to enable Dan's auto-moderator mode. Like the extra segment. I couldn't believe how much I swore in that.
Trying to make a family-friendly site.
Yeah, that's why I cut it out and went, warning, parental advisor required.
Well, I mean, that's actually kind of interesting, because we actually were originally trying to do the PG thing. And actually, before I became a counselor at, I actually got warned because one of my storylines that I posted for Fluff was very dark.
And now look at the world. We've got Batman and all that other moody shit.
Yeah. But I mean, you got like, I don't know, it's a little different, you know, when you, because you're talking about raiding towns and killing villagers type thing versus, you know, more sci-fi, you know, things where it's laser guns and you're kind of, you know, because it's laser guns and not an actual gun, you kind of are desensitized to it in a sense.
Ah.
So it kind of comes differently.
In that case, give me the laser gun. Give it to me.
Versus differently of explaining a rat, you know, sneaking up with somebody with a dagger and, you know, gutting them and...
Because we're trying to be PG, but I've read things from Skaven Army books that, like, I wouldn't recommend that to small children.
Well, I got one of the Vampire Trilogy books once, and there's, like, this whole story in there where this vampire just doesn't kill this guy who's been annoying him, but kills everyone he loves and everyone around him and everything. And it's just, like, proper torture, and it's, like, by the end of the book, I was like, how has this book not got a rating on it?
Yeah, they don't swear, so that's the thing.
Yeah, no, he just killed everyone that this guy loved and ruined his life, and, you know, and then in end made him a vampire out of irony. It were just, no, it were deep. That's a whole new level of torture.
Oh, I think it was more, I think Games Workshop tries to have this PG with kind of a wink of a little bit more, because you can't really call it PG once you start looking at the demonettes. And a lot of the followers of Slash-ish.
Aren't they all gone now, though?
No, they're not.
It's actually interesting. It's kind of almost a campaign mechanism rather than, like, they're gone. Because they're still there. They're still talked about it. It's almost like a campaign story arc. Rather than, oh my god, he's missing.
Is it called the Age of Equal Opportunities? Where women get to moan about Warhammer.
The Age of Positive Discrimination.
Is that what you call it?
No, it's the Grand Alliance Chaos book has loads of Slaanesh in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, they're still there. Just the, you know, the models have seemed toned down a little.
And they just gave them an interesting story mechanic about how their god's missing.
You know, so you have some that are freaking out, and then you have some that are running, you know, looking for them, and then you have some that are looking to replace them.
Because the models have actually been made more PG already, because they used to show two boobs instead of just one.
Oh, this is a PG podcast here.
Can I not say boob?
You said it again.
Just don't start talking about 50 Shades of Fur.
50 Shades of Fur. Is that a Skaven equivalent? Skaven Breeder, 50 Shades of Burr.
I mean, when they were talking about the Broodmothers.
Wargaming, have you done any at all of anything?
I'm working on my modeling and my scenery. Actually played a couple war games against a gentleman that actually couldn't paint his own army. He actually had to have it professionally done, not because he was lazy or because he wanted a cool figures, because
extra
he actually has he actually has you know, somewhat deformity from his arm for getting in a car accident. So I mean,
oh, that's rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, especially because you know the extra hurdle of having to force. I mean, it don't. You're forced to pay somebody else.
You see, that's the thing as well. If he painted his own models and was happy with the way he painted them, but he professionally gamed, he'd still lose points because they'd not be as good as Bob's. But he's got a disability and blah blah blah, and it's just, no, it's supposed to be a game, it's supposed to be fun. If you win or lose, it's down to the dice, and that should be all that matters as far as I'm concerned at a tournament.
Which tournament did you lose, Dan? Where you didn't get any painting points?
I've not really come last ever, if that's what you mean. My friend always does, despite his perfectly fine painted army. He collects the wooden spoon award, as they call it, meaning he did really bad. The thing is, he always practices really well for the tournament games, and then he goes to a tournament, and I was like, don't fuck it up. And then he's always like, too late. I get a text, because too late, Dan. And I was like, how did you lose?
Did you guys have tournaments with, because we've had those, like, club tournaments where you have several people on a team, and you get to pick each round which of the team members counts for the round. Did you get that one?
No, never done all that.
Because we in the Netherlands we had Battle of the Clubs, where we which had that kind of setup, and I always went along with a couple of guys, and we also had this one guy who was a really good player casually in the store amongst the group. But but he had terrible judgment in tournaments. So every time, like, we saw that he was going up against an army that he would probably win against, we'd say to him, like, okay, we're gonna make sure you count this round. And he'd always get massacred completely.
Yeah. Was it because he played pitch battles and then he actually had to do scenarios, or was it just like,
yes, stuff like that?
Like the typical, I'm really good at classwork. I'm really good at classwork, but some reason when I get the tests.
Yeah. And I think it's nerves as well. I've never, because I only ever beat him once in a game, and that was at a tournament.
The pressure, it matters. Yeah, see, that's that, you know, winningness coming through. It's like, I've got to win. I've got to prove myself, earn my battle points. And then it just goes.
Well, I mean, I haven't actually attended any, but the local club around here, Ordo Fanaticus, they actually have the beer-style tournaments because they have their own clubhouse.
That sounds awesome. I'm coming over.
Beer-style tournaments?
I mean, it's kind of cool. It was like, especially now, they even added, well, not them, but a company has come out with drinking dice.
Oh, it's like I think I've seen them.
It's like a D8, but it has, so it's like a D6, except for there's two extra spots, and like one is give a drink and the other one's take a drink.
I also heard of a version of Warhammer that was if you drank a beer glass, you could put the empty glass on the table as terrain. So.
That actually is sounding very similar to a game called Warpenheim. It was basically, it's Mordheim, but the guy like really plumped up the rules to like has things in there for like if a cat jumps on the table and knocks over models, like what to do.
I like that. Like, that's silly game mechanics. Extreme like comp pack. We've got every scenario: alien invasion, cat attacks the table, dog runs through the room.
Fallout.
I always thought it'd be kind of interesting to do a scenario with Necrons, because supposedly they're like in planets sitting dormant for a while, right? So like, why haven't any Warhammer races come across them? Like,
there were rules for it.
There was.
Yeah, the Necrons killed the masters of the Lizardmen.
Yeah, the old ones.
That's nice. What happened to them. So there was this whole scenario thing where you could field Lizardmen versus Necrons.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Is that like White Dwarf? Or was it just like
an
online
thing? Yeah, it was in a White Dwarf, I believe.
That would be epic.
Let me have a quick Google. See, it's amazing the rubbish you remember, innit? What were they called back then? Was it Lizardmen?
Isn't that called the War in Heaven? Or was that another thing? Like in the 40k lore?
No, because I'm pretty sure it was on the old world, supposedly.
I mean, to me, that's part of the appeal for me for demons. Why I've kind of started getting into Nurgle a lot lately. Especially because of the Age of Sigmar kind of lets you do both.
Yeah,
but also because
be an Age of Sigmar.
I could use my demon, you know, those Nurgles in 40k as a legitimate army.
Can you even keep them on the round bases?
Round bases.
So you've got Nurgles on square bases, but you're going to use them in 40k.
Well, I mean, you can use them in both. That's kind of the whole advantage of having them on squares is you can, you know, I can even run them in Kings of War. Which is probably going to be the next topic.
Because, we've talked about do we have to go through did we talk about the news already?
What news?
I've read the Skaven. We're also getting some repacks and some battle some getting started sets for the Clan Pestilence, right?
Oh yeah, the Age of Sigmar. We're getting the huge. Are you talking about Kings of War is getting rats released too?
Are they going? Oh, we've also had the guy from Ninth Age post on the forums some concept models for their version of the Skaven.
The ones that no one liked.
Ninth Age is kind of an interesting thing because they're very much using Games Workshop intellectual property, and they've been very reserved about that. I mean, it's kind of one thing to do, you know, fan compositions and rules and tournament packs. It's completely...
Wait till they start selling some of it and see what happens.
So risky what they're doing.
I mean, because you could... All the hard work you guys done and all the, you know, the domain name and all of a sudden a cease and desist order and they're done.
Yeah, but won't really work on me because I own the entire web server and everything. It's all set up by me. So I'd have to acknowledge them.
But there's also differences between re-releasing a game that they've dropped, so they could.
Well, I think
doing a podcast on the game of, you know, their production.
Especially if they're still selling the rules, because they're selling them still from.
Yeah, I think that's why they've re-released the 8th edition PDF, because they've gone, well, you've been this, so you know. It's now out there in the realms of moderate use and all that stuff. And unless you're selling it, where's your proof that it's your product?
Yeah.
So they just went, okay, we'll stick it back on the web store. It can sit there for eternity in cyberspace.
But that's also a thing that I think they're kind of... There's not using a... If the Mordheim, to me, what made it really popular was not so much that it was a really cool board game and interesting dynamics, because Necromunda had that. It was more of the living rulebook aspect of it, where you could have the rulebook for free, but you paid for the models and the other stuff. So you don't have this hurdle gap between veteran players that know all the rules for all the armies and the new guy who doesn't quite know what he likes, but he picks the model because he likes it.
And then get smashed in tournament because it looks nice.
And then get smashed in tournaments because, you know, beasts are no good in 8th edition, or, you know, like vampire counts and, you know, Warriors of Chaos dominated 9th edition, you know. So, I mean, it's, you're picking it based on the looks, and then when you get down to the game mechanics, you're like, oh, man. That's probably one of the reasons why I'm suggesting to a lot of people that are trying to get into Age of Sigmar to not field any clan rats.
Oh, like, you got storm vermin. Millions and millions of storm vermin.
Yeah, see, it's more of a strike battle. And so, I mean, eventually people might throw in clan rats, and, especially because one of the things I was thinking of doing in my area to kind of convince people that it's not just a skirmish game, of having this old mega battles. You know, that's one of the things I kind of miss about having so many Games Workshop stores in the kind of proliferated. We had, like, in the Puget Sound area, we used to have, like, 6 or 7 of them, and I think now we have, like, 2.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they had one in, like, freaking Marysville, of all places, which is, like, this dink little, like, commuter town. They had, like, Linwood, and then Seattle, and then they had the Bellevue Battle Bunker, which is, like, this... It was almost like a restaurant style, except for without the restaurant.
So strange.
You kind of get gaming stores now having the picking up the slack. But it seems like, you know, once they started closing, a lot of these places that were picking up the slack only had Magic the Gathering, or only had, you know,
yeah,
War Machine, or only had, you know, like, it's definitely not the golden age of Warhammer anymore. Where, like, everybody played Warhammer and then something else. It seems like everybody's skipped the Warhammer part and is on something else part.
It's still weird, though, because in the U.S., apparently, you say they've been closing stores, while in the Netherlands, they've just started opening stores in the past few years.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Yeah, well, they even have this scheme where they have what they call black shirts, and they like they have it's like one man store.
Yeah, we
so
have
it's like
that,
one
yeah.
guy's in charge, and he's getting like not only does he have to be at the store for like the 40 hours per week, but he also has to paint models and like.
Yeah, those are the same kinds of stores I'm talking about. Though we've just never had Games Workshop stores before. We only had 2 stores in Rotterdam and in Amsterdam. And then only recently, only a couple of years back, they started putting up the one-man stores in a couple in most Dutch cities.
Cool.
We have more than 10 of them now, I think.
Do you see kind of help the player base and kind of increase the numbers and kind of the...
Well, it's
almost kind of...
I think it really helps because they're getting young people into the hobby at a faster pace than I've seen them before. The only problem is that those people have to find groups and the community that's there on their own. So we have, for example, in my city, Eindhoven, we have the small one-man Games Workshop store, and it's I think they're quite regularly selling products to people, but the people they're selling products to don't know that there's an entire Warhammer club with a very pretty large gaming space in a store a bit outside of the center of town. But it's, yeah, the people, it takes them really a really long time to figure that out, start Googling online, Warhammer clubs Eindhoven, and then they might find their way to our club, but it takes them a while. But we do get like a couple of people once every month maybe. We're now just visiting the game night and joining in. So it's a good thing, I think. To have the Games Workshop stores there, but then when they show up at our store, they start like maybe probably learning to play Warhammer for real for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I missed about the Grand Tournament scene that they had back in the day, because it was kind of like a part convention, part league play. I mean, sure, it wasn't a league, it was more of a tournament, but the fact that the tournament's connected kind of made it feel like league play. Because if you did really well in this tournament, they would invite you to the next one. Mm. And it also kind of became like impromptu Games Workshop stores, because they would have the, you know, the big selling stuff. And I don't know, it kind of made the convention aspect of it was kind of interesting.
In the U.S. is always
kind of have the big convention. Independent people doing it now, and that's kind of, I think that's where you see a lot of the Ninth Age still kind of strong in America, is the tournament scene. It seems like the actual individual stores are either favoring Knights of War or Age of Sigmar, or just 40K, and then they're laughing at you because you're like the only Warhammer player in the store.
Well, 40K is changing fast as well now, so we're a Skaven podcast, but I've heard there's some strange developments in 40K recently as well.
It's the end times. Everyone everywhere dies. Anyway, yes, let's go on and talk about Kings of War for a bit, because I actually played Kings of War the other day. I was persuaded to try it, at least, so that turned out pretty well. And it is a bit go on.
Did you use rats?
I used ratkins, yes. I used 2 units of clan rats. I used a horde of storm vermin. I'll use the real names. I used 40 plague monks, 2 units of gutter runners, a horde of rat ogres, 2 weapons teams, 2 warlocks, a BSB, and BSBs are freaking pointless, and the greater demon, which for some reason in Kings of War can fly. But I'm not going to complain, because flight in Kings of War is awesome.
The rules are very different though. So what? Because the BSB, you said the BSB didn't do anything. Isn't that because...
No, because you can pretty much give his rule to any Skaven character if you spend the extra points. So it don't really do jack. Kind of makes him obsolete, unless your army is so big that you need someone like at either ends of your army line to contribute to the leadership. But they don't add leadership. What they basically do is give you a reroll. But generally, when you get to the point that you need to roll, if you've got a horde, basically it works like this. For every wound you take, you then roll 2 dice and add that. And if it beats your total score that you've got on your sheet, then the unit's dead. That's it.
Your nerve value.
Yeah, your nerve value. Well, it has like stunned and then it has dead. That's your 2 nerve values. But there are things like plague monks can't be stunned. But a horde, I'll just work it out for you. So the storm vermin with 3 blocks stood around them, you need to score 22 to destroy them. But it's 22, and then it's +1 for every unit within 6 inch. So I'd got it on about 28, because there's just this massive like formation advancing on the enemy. But the thing is, your wounds, they stack up. So while you'll only do a couple of wounds first turn, and there's no way in hell you'll actually kill them, as it goes on, it's like you're getting closer and closer to that point where they will die. But you don't take the models off, which is nice. But losing models doesn't affect your attacks, which is nice. And storm vermin are pretty broke, because a horde of storm vermin is 25 attacks, hitting on 4s, but I'd give them a buff so they were hitting on 3s. And then they've got a special rule which gives them +1 to damage you. You use your enemy's defense value and then your special rules. So if your enemy were like a Ponzi elf that were defense 3, and then you've got crushing strength 1, then you'd be wounding on 2s. And it's little stuff like that. But yeah, the storm vermin seems pretty like Age of Sigmar storm vermin, because it was just like, yeah, I run into something. Oh, I annihilated you. What the hell? I was like, this is awesome. And the rat ogres have got regeneration now. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't kill him...
That's my kind of game.
Yeah. He ran his dragon into the front of the... No, into the flank of the rat ogres. If you flank a unit, you get double attacks. If you recharge a unit, you get triple attacks. So he flanked the rat ogres with a dragon, which was like 20 attacks, I think. He caused 8 attacks worth of wounds, I think. He stunned them, basically, and they were there going, WTF. And then he decided to run off and attack someone else with his dragon, because at the end of each combat phase, all units separate, so there's no, like, dashing into combat to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no dashing into combat for hide, but units have a height profile, so if all your stuff's height 1, if it's behind all your other friendlies, they can't see you.
Okay.
So positioning's much more important.
Isn't it also like if you can, if you have a bigger height than something that's in front of you, and you're going to charge something, you can see over your own friendly units, right? And you can charge through them.
I am not entirely sure on that, because I'm not entirely sure of the rules, but I think with some units you can, yeah.
Because I've been reading the free rules pages, and because I've seen those rules with the height value and the line of sight, and you need line of sight to charge something, but it also said somewhere that you could move through friendly units. So I was like,
to an extent you can, yeah.
So you can have a really wide screen of Glenrad, or like Glenrad's a bad example, like with other armies that have cavalry, you can have your cavalry charge through a screen of bowmen or something.
Yeah, I think if I'm remembering correctly, I mean, I've only had a couple of games so far.
Probably has something to do with how many ranks, so you can go through like 2 ranks, but
no,
not 3.
No, because ranks aren't a thing anymore. Kings of War don't do ranks. That's not even in it.
No.
Oh, at all? Interesting.
No, you don't change formation. You don't re-rank. All you do is pivot and move. And
you can do that because the block, the regiment that you buy for the points, it doesn't change size during the game. So it's pointless to have a rank stat if it doesn't change during the game.
Yeah.
Just incorporated into the stats of the unit. You don't have stats for models, you have stats for units.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always liked it, and I saw of it, like, I figured that maybe, like, if I start, because I like the round bases, actually. I'm intending to start rebasing my Skaven soon, and into round bases. But with Kings of War, since you never really have to take them off, so why not have like square movement trays for my Skaven and just make like round holes in them and just...
Yeah, also like their official rule is that you need 55% of the unit needs to be what it actually is. So for a horde of Storm Vermin, you only need like 22 Storm Vermin. And that represents 40.
Yeah, so I can, so effectively I can, like, and just build some units for Age of Sigmar, and then have a movement tray for if I want to play Kings of War and just put them on there.
Yep.
Not even movement trays. It sounds like if you can multiply your forces like that, you can do things like have bannering rams and like other stuff on the scenic base that kind of like modifies that, you know, amplifies their oomph.
Yeah, well, I guess.
You know, like, that's one of the things that I like seeing about old people's models is, you know, the trophies. I don't know if you've seen some armies do that. Where, like, if somebody else, you know, like, if you beat this other guy, you get one of his models. If you beat, he beats you, you give him one of yours.
Oh, I did that with another guy in my store. Because he always picks, like, these terrible, or at least I think they're terrible color schemes. With like orange and green, and so every time I beat him a couple of times, and I was like with crazy odds, and then I'm like, okay, I'm painting an orange and green dead guy this unit.
That's actually one of my favorite models, actually, the Mordheim Dead Rats.
Oh, seriously, they have those?
Yeah, I have like 7 of them. I like them so much. I like using this as well. I'm also like kind of forgetful, so I also use them as like wound counters and like, so I know to like tests and such.
Yeah, that's one of the things with Kings of War. You could really do with some like shell shock counters and a massive wound counter thing. I'm not quite sure. I might have to think about that and come up with something.
Yeah, because you have to keep up with the wounds because you can't see them on the unit, so you have to keep like...
Yeah, you have to put loads of dice by units, and when you've got masses and masses of units like I had, it's just like all your dice is suddenly stood next to units, and you're like, oh, I need more dice.
Well, I mean, that's also something you could build into your movement traits too, right? Like a little hero click aspect of like, okay, start out with 30 wounds and it slowly clicks down.
Yeah, as long as there's a way for you to roll it back for units with regen.
Yeah, or just a good, or just a cool place in the unit to put your dice.
Yeah, like a pre-med dice holder. Yeah, that's a good idea. But yes, so yeah, that's Kings of War. I'm quite liking it. Magic and shooting's all rolled into one thing. Movement charging's all rolled into one thing. There's no fleeing. It's a lot like, well, this is an odd comparison. I don't know how many people like History of War things, but in the old days, in the Roman Empire, they had cannon fodder and they did things in ranks, which is kind of what the Skaven are based on anyway. And this is very much like that because you can't charge through an enemy unit unless you can fly. So you put your cannon fodder first and then you put your other troops behind that and you do it like that and you layer it up. So it is like proper Skaven. So you're sending in the crap troops and then you're sending in the good troops and then you're sending in the elites. Then everyone's dead.
Yeah, well, it's because that's the thing. Like with Age of Sigmar, that's the thing people are really missing now. Is the Napoleonic or the Roman? I'm not a big history person, but the complicated rank and regiment maneuvers that you can do and that are quite interesting to have in a fantasy battle. Like the only games that you have that now are Ninth Age and Kings of War.
I wouldn't say Kings of War has it so much because it's all predefined by what you choose. But Ninth Age, the Empire Army in Ninth Edition, has like stolen Age of Sigmar like battle commands because you know how you can like issue commands from your general in Age of Sigmar.
Right.
They've added that to the Empire in Ninth Age.
Huh? Only to the Empire, not to the other races.
No, not to the other races. Because when we started, I was like, ooh, can I do battle commands? And they were like, no. And I was like, oh. Oops, I think we've lost someone.
No, I think he's back.
Oh, you're back. For a second there, it was me echoing through you trying to reconnect, I imagine.
No, I just left my phone. Sitting, I probably should hit the mute button before I walked away. My son was all excited. He got his bicycle and was running around.
So, have you played any of the online games? Are you interested in the Total War Warhammer that's coming out? I totally raged it for like 20 minutes last time.
I'm actually tempted to buy a Steam box just for Mordheim.
Mordheim. Oh, they got Mordheim?
Yeah, they have it's on Steam, you know, for PC, but they also have the Steam Box, which is kind of like a console version of Steam.
So
a little bit less of a front cost, because, you know, you're getting a machine that'll run just kind of Steam games, rather than like a really nice computer that'll play all the, you know, games.
Oh, yeah, I've got Mordheim.
It's kind of interesting. It's kind of like a turn-based thing, so it's kind of... It brings back a lot of the memories, but it's also kind of set up almost like Team Fortress, where you're like trying to attack the other guy.
Are you sure? But it's kind of weird because confusing it with what am I thinking? Vermintide, because that's very much like that on the massive multiplayer.
Vermintide to me is more of a Legend of Gauntlets, where it's like you're this character and you're this character for the entire game and. We're basically just going to throw enemies at you until you die.
Yeah, but you get level ups and power ups and stuff, and you can change your equipment and get extra skills. So it does evolve. It's very much like
you can choose a different character each game.
That's total Gauntlet Legends, though. I mean, the old arcade game, you know, with the little. You could be a magic user, you could be a warrior, you could be. I mean, it definitely has a lot of the, but it also has a lot of the old HeroQuest aspect too. I mean, where you were like, this was your guy and you were running through whatever the dungeon master had at the time of all the little figurines.
Okay. I feel so young, but those are all games that I haven't played.
Well, these ones are actually recent PC titles. That's another interesting thing. Like, even though Games Workshop is like kind of like done away with the old hammer of 8th edition, they're still using that intellectual property for other things. Like, there's even card games and such. They don't last very long because it doesn't really have a lot of hype behind it. But the video games, I think, is where they really are excelling at. Because you have Total War, which is set in the Warhammer game, not Age of Sigmar. You have Vermintide, which is set during End Times, which is very much Warhammer. It's kind of that Blood Bowl, which would not make sense in Age of Sigmar.
Although Blood Bowl never made sense, ever. It would just like
Stormcast Eternal for Blood Bowl. That's going to be hilarious.
Well,
they actually
do it.
Things that 4chan did that I thought was hilarious is the updated poll for the Age of Slam.
They made like a big. I saw the image where they made like the big basketball hoop out of Sigmar's city thing. That was cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great little laugh. I don't think anybody's actually played it, but it's kind of based on that Warp and Heimdall rules that I was talking about earlier, where you can basically do anything.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they're gonna introduce any of Age of Sigmar into video games, that, and how, if they're gonna change any of that. Because
are you ready? Or shall we call it Rant 30 whenever I go off on one?
you mean for the Total War?
Yeah, there's more news for Total War.
Let's get into it.
For some bizarre reason, they've lowered the cost in the UK by £10 and not anywhere else, which makes no sense at all. I'm sure that makes a lot of people happy, including one person who I talked to earlier who was really angry about it.
They probably just heard your rant. I mean, like,
yeah, people in the UK are really angry and they're really close to us, so let's lower the price for them.
It could be simply because of the import rules and export rules.
No, dude, no. No, it's now cheaper than your average Xbox game right here in the UK. So I don't know why they've lowered the price, but I am not going to complain. But there has been some questionable stuff. They've released another video for Orcs and Goblins, and on the video there are some questionable comments that get highlighted. And they've now backtracked in their response, saying, oh no, we didn't mean that, it's still beta, it's not finished. And this is supposed to be a HD video. You can go watch this. If you go to YouTube and you put in Total War Warhammer, I'm sure you'll find the Creative Assembly channel, which has all the videos on, and you can just see that this HD video quality game looks bleeping terrible. There you go, self-moderation there. And, yeah, they've been
working with 2008 technology when it's 2016.
Yeah, they've been backtracking a little bit on things. They're trying to appease people, I think, a little bit. But
to set back expectations, probably.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, speaking.
Go on.
Computer games on PC. Has anybody actually tried the tablet freeware ones? I can't remember what it's called. Like, it's like this little dungeon crawler, but it's like on the iPhone.
I've heard of them, but I haven't tried them.
That's not gaming, dude.
Well, it's Warhammer.
Is it?
I downloaded the Warhammer app and the Age of Sigmar app. And those are...
Yeah, that's actually nice. It kind of sucks that you have to pay for a lot of the stuff. But it's actually a lot cheaper. Because, like, if you want to get just the Skaven stuff, you can pay just the $2, not the $75.
Yeah, but beware, because it's an app. They can remove those. As soon as they say that warp scroll expired, they can remove that from your app. You buy it on paper, you've got it forever. Just saying. And some people have said that the apps are not that good at being updated. That apparently some of the scrolls are not the new versions.
I use it to check for news and stuff, and I've and I think they might come in handy just during games if I need to look up something from the War Scrolls. But I haven't done that either, so I'm just...
Yeah, clicking your fingers around is a lot easier than, oh my god, what page was this on? What page was that on? Especially if you go through the Grand Alliance book and you're not just using stuff from your section. You're using Beastmen, Skaven, and Nurgle, and
you have to keep tabs and stuff. It's annoying.
You need to memorize it all. It's your Bible.
Your Bible. You have to find your remember your warp rattles from your what's it called? Shall I quote some stuff from there?
If you wish.
Because the names are too good not to mention. Because they have the Clan Scryer organization. They have a Whirlblade Thrashic engine coven, a Gas Cloud Choke Lung engine coven, a Rattle Gorge Warplock engine coven, an Arc Spark Voltic engine coven, and a Godfire Scorch engine coven. Those are all the formations that you can pick in Clan Scryer.
Nice.
So they've really gone, they've exceeded themselves once again with the interesting naming schemes.
Well, it's always good to know that they actually seem vested in it. Do you want to talk about your custom dice now?
Maybe. One of the things we're thinking of doing, one of the surprises that the council has in store for everybody in April when our anniversary comes up, is another round of dice ordering. And so,
is it surprising? Is it still a surprise?
From there, though, we have the usual. I mean, we've done dice orders before. I think this is the fifth one. But to kind of mix it up, decided to go with the double sixes as the surprise. For this year, we'll have the usual, 1d6 with the one side custom or the d6 with all side customs. But I think it's interesting because it's like a d12, but it rolls like a d6. And so you kind of picture the shape of a d12, it's kind of more round.
Okay, and but so it kind of rolls a lot but smoother. It has six of the same numbers on both sides, but it's a d12.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So kind of like double.
It's only got six different numbers, but it's got 12 sides.
Yeah. So it has one twice, two twice, three twice, four twice, five twice, six twice. So.
Oh, that's really cool. I haven't seen those, though, because I think I've missed a lot of the dice orders. I was probably inactive during my time, during the time I was inactive that the dice were a thing.
Oh, I got loads of them. And then I got more because you needed more. I didn't realize.
Yeah, once you start getting some custom sets, you want to have all custom sets. So I ordered so much that I actually threw away my white dice.
Oh, dude.
Well, I mean, traded them, but
that's
practically.
Go on. Yeah,
some of them, the scatter die is, artillery die is something really only used in Warhammer.
The artillery dice is only used in or at least the scatter dice is used in 40K.
Okay. Do you use any specialty dice in Kingdoms of War? I mean,
nope, it's all a D6, just like Age of Sigma.
I mean, because you had Games Workshop even experimenting with the D10 for Inquisitor for a little bit. I think it's an interesting aspect of it because it's, to me, especially with the color choice, it's going to look more like a Warpstone shard. Not quite as fancy as the Games Workshop ones that they had for the end times, with the air bubble making it all like fancy. But I don't know. I think the colors recon from the ChessX custom orders. And I actually went the extra step and, well, not for people that aren't familiar with Double Six, it started out as a Kickstarter campaign. And we were going to order the dice from them as kind of adding into their stock, but it was like $2,000 just to get a base template.
Ouch.
I mean, granted, we would get like a whole bunch of dice for that amount of money, but it was... But from there, you know, the upfront cost was not really worth it. So, I mean, it'll be the difference between, if we get enough orders, it'll be like $6 a die compared to, you know, with the huge mass order that we went through them, it would have been like $1.50 or something, but we would have had to have like 2,000 dice. And I don't think our board is that active anymore.
Well, we can reach out to anyone and everyone, and if you need help with redistribution, I mean, I remember, I think it was Rusty last time said that it'd be better next time if someone in the UK distributed, so if you need someone else over here, there's always me or Ratty, probably. I'll volunteer Ratty, because he's not here to defend himself.
Even previously, people, you know, like they liked the idea of the custom dice. But they kind of also liked it, you know, because you can get a whole bunch of dice for a dollar, or you can get this really fancy one for $6. And so, you know, I have like 13 of each set of the small ones, but only like 6 of each of the fancy, expensive ones. the appeal of being an artiste.
Won't be that fair. But, yeah, if you're still here, thank you for listening. If you want to get hold of us, you can contact us through the forum, through Twitter, through the Under Empire forum. We'll post all the links we talked about. Where can people get hold of you, Dan?
Oh, this is terrible. They can contact me through Twitter. I'm at Dan of War, with Dan with double A's instead of Skaven Dan. I'm Dan with a double A. And... they can contact me through the forums. I'm Bodacious on the forums. And you can contact me through the site, the Skaven by Radio website.
And if you've got anything you want putting on the website, content, links, anything, we'll put whatever you want on it. Just let us know what you want. It's like we said before, if you don't tell us what you want, we're just going to ramble at you for 2 hours every week.
Yeah. And if you guys are from other sites or have painting contests, let us know and we'll plug them for you.
Yes, please, get in contact. If you've got something that you want to promote or otherwise, let us know. We can always give it a mention and share the link. Yeah.
Free advertising.
Free advertising. Yes, in the epic uniqueness of the Plague Monk tomb coming out, it's the Brotherhood. We're all in it together.
Yeah, Brotherhood of the Box.
Yeah.
The Grand Alliance, right?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.